Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Honey on my lips. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 10 about the word of God that it is sweeter than honey. Join Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Life has a way of dishing out to us things that we did not expect. Sometimes it's a dream that seems to be delayed. Many times you see a man, you know, he has a good job, he's a cool dude, his suit is smart, and you think, when I marry him, everything will be together. The unexpected is unexpected from our perspective, but from God's perspective, it is not unexpected.
On Sweet Melodies 94.3, as she puts the honey of God's word on your lips, equipping you for all facets of life this and every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Honey on my lips will change your life, preach good news to the poor, set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, bring recovery of sight to the blind, and proclaim God's year of jubilee. Honey on my lips. Saturdays at 9 a.m. on Sweet Melody. Be blessed by God as you tune in to Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Over me and over this vessel. And I pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit will also come down mightily over the people that will hear your word. I pray, O God, that there shall be eternal changes in our lives. I pray, O God, that there shall be a touch of heaven in our lives. I pray that the acceptable year of the Lord shall be proclaimed. O God, I pray that the anointing will overflow, O God, like a mighty rushing wind, O God, like a river that has overflown, O God. Let the anointing flow out unto your people, and let us never be the same. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you. We say, take over and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to thank God for the opportunity to be here. And I don't take for granted the fact that it is by His mercies that I stand behind this sacred desk. Amen. I also want to thank my husband, the bishop, for releasing me into ministry. And also for encouraging me. Amen. I want to thank your general overseer, Reverend Steve Asari, and his wife, whom I've known for many years when she was in NTC. Hallelujah. And I want to salute them and all the pastors that stand with them. I want to say that, well done. Amen. It's true we are not in heaven yet, but I can see that you have been faithful with that which the Lord has entrusted to you. And I pray that the Lord will lift you up to deeper and higher levels in your walk with Him. Amen. I want to congratulate you on your nice church. Amen. The last time I was here was in November with the homecoming group. And at that time, there was no roof over your head. And now when I look up, I see that the Lord has been good to you. Amen. I see that you are now under a rock and that Jehovah has hidden you fully. Amen. So God bless you and clap for yourself for your wonderful church. I want to thank also the women for the wonderful reception. I have not seen golden fans in my life before. Thank you for believing in me and for celebrating God's gift on my life. I pray that God's will be done this evening. And for the choir, you are just wonderful. I felt the presence of God in a very strong way. And I know that this is the best church this side of Accra. Amen. It has a good feel about it. And I pray that the Lord's will be done this evening. This evening, I intend being very brief. Amen. And I want to speak to you about the mistakes of Vashti. Hallelujah. The mistakes of Vashti. Now, I know that our theme is woman, God's secret weapon. Amen. And I say secret because when you look at the outer casing, it doesn't look like a weapon. When you look at the packaging, it doesn't look like anything powerful. When you look at the exterior, it doesn't look even like anything to do with war. Hallelujah. But I believe that in every woman, God has made an investment. And the Bible is replete with examples like that. But I will take that topic tomorrow. Amen. But I want to say that when we look through the Bible, you know, David went to consult the house of Nabal and he asked for a little bread and a little food for his men. The Bible says that Nabal was a foolish man. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. Sometimes you wonder how a beautiful woman like Abigail could end up with a foolish man like Nabal. But when it comes to such things, ladies can be blind. Amen. I pray that the Lord will deliver you from blindness. Hallelujah. But Nabal refused and said all sorts of things. And Abigail got wind of it. And the Bible says that she gathered raisins and figs and bread and wine and saddled a camel or a donkey and went to see David. By the time she got there, David was ready with his weapons and his sword and everything to fight. But Abigail used her secret weapons. Hallelujah. The men were ready with swords. They were ready with AK-47s. They were ready with bazookas. The army was ready. Abigail didn't even have a table knife. But when she appeared there, the Bible says she fell to her face and she said, "Oh my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be." And that alone melted David. Hallelujah. So ladies, it doesn't matter what it is that is coming up against us. What really matters is whether we use our God-given weapons. Hallelujah. And Abigail told David, you see, as you are going to fight and all this, you are going to shed blood. And you will gain a very bad reputation in the area. So one day when the Lord lifts you up, you won't be able to rule this side of the country. You know, so calm down. And what did she use? Raisins, figs, things that look perishable. But such is the secret weapon of a woman. Hallelujah. But many times, we look at ourselves, we look at what we have in our hands, and we say, "Oh, I don't have the sword that David has. I don't have the army David could marshal. I don't have the horses David had. I don't have the money Nabal had to speak anyhow. And I have only a basket of raisins and figs and bread. But that basket subdued great kings that other things could not subdue." Hallelujah. But this is just preliminary to tomorrow's message. So be there. Amen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow we'll go into woman, God's secret weapon. Hallelujah. Please, I think you should look in my bag and get my reading glasses for me. Shall we read our Bibles? Turn our Bibles to Esther chapter 1. Are we there? Sometimes I think I need it, sometimes I think I don't, so I don't know. Esther chapter 1. Are we there? If you are there, say hallelujah. If you are not there, say wait for me. Esther is after Nehemiah. Now it took place in the days of Ahasuerus, the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. In those days, as king, Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne, which was in Shushan, the capital. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his princes and attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of his provinces being in his presence. And he displayed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his great majesty for many days, 180 days. And when these days were completed, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the capital, from the greatest to the least, in the court of the guarding of the king's palace. There were hangings of fine white and violet linen held by cords of fine purple linen on silver rings, and marble columns and couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. Drinks were served in golden vessels of various kinds, and the royal wine was plentiful according to the king's bounty. And the drinking was done according to the law. There was no compulsion, for so the king had given orders to each official of his household that he should do according to the desires of each person. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bista, Habona, Bigtha, you can get some children's names here, Abakta, Zetha, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and the princes, because she was beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the queen's command delivered by the eunuchs. Then the king became very angry, and his wrath burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men who understood the times, for it was the custom of the king, so to speak, before all who knew law and justice and were close to him, Kashena, Shetha, Admatha, Tarshish, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who had access to the king's presence and sat in the first place in the kingdom. According to law, what is to be done with Queen Vashti, because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus delivered by the eunuchs? And in the presence of the king and the princes, Memucan said, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also all the princes and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands, by saying King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence, but she did not come. And this day, the ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's conduct, will speak in the same way to all the king's princes, and there will be plenty of contempt and anger. If it pleases the king, let a royal edict be issued by him, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, so that it cannot be repealed, that Vashti should come no more into the presence of the king, Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than she. And when the king's edict which he shall make is heard throughout all his kingdom, great as it is, then all women will give honor to their husbands, great and small. And this word pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. So he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province according to its script, and to every people according to their language, that every man should be the master in his own house, and the one who speaks in the language of his own people. After these things, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had subsided, he remembered Vashti, and what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's attendants who served him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king." Hallelujah. The mistakes of Vashti. Now, we all know part of the story, that the king, in throwing the banquet and all that, had sent for Vashti. And Vashti had said she would not come. Now, the Bible says that the king's heart was merry, and he was, maybe he had had a bit of alcohol, and so he was a bit drunk. And so when he sent for Vashti, Vashti did not come. Perhaps it was politically incorrect for the king to call Vashti when he was drunk. And so Vashti looked at it and said, "I don't respond to drunkards. I don't respond to people who are not sober. I don't respond to people who I think are not thinking right. And so I'm not going." But what was the mistake of Vashti? I believe that the first mistake of Vashti was that she did not know who she was. Hallelujah. She did not know who she was. The Bible says that she was the queen of Shushan and the queen of King Ahasuerus. Therefore, she was the wife of the king. But following her attitude and her behavior, we can say that Vashti probably did not know who she was. Because when you are a queen, you cannot afford to behave anyhow. Simple and decent protocol demands that you carry yourself in a certain way, that you comport yourself in a certain way, that you behave in a certain way, that you respond and react to things in a certain way, but you cannot just be like any ordinary woman and just react anyhow to anything that stirs you up or infuriates you. Hallelujah. And I believe that that is why royalty is sent to finishing school. Even in our kingdoms in Ghana, when you become Asantehene and all that, they take you through how a king must behave. And in history, among certain tribes, the king was not even supposed to eat in public. It is not that the king will not be hungry. It is not that he may not have appetite. But it was just deemed not noble for a king to eat in public. In the same way, people are sent to finishing school, so that when they become the real royals, they will know how to behave. Hallelujah. You cannot walk anyhow when you are a queen. And you cannot go to places unescorted and unattended. I just felt like going, so I went. You are going to run into problems. And in the same way, many women do not know who they are in Christ. And we do not know how we are even related to Christ. We are freelance on our own. And anything that stirs us up, we react. Anything that infuriates us, ourselves come fully. Why? Because we don't know who we are. Hallelujah. When I was in the law school, one day, there was a particular lecturer who used to teach evidence. And whenever he came in, you know, he was very stiff, very British, very stiff voice, and the whole class would be quite tense. And he insisted on marking the register to find out about attendance. Now, these were postgraduate students who had done their first degree in law. Some had come from foreign affairs, some were diplomats, some were in the bank, and we had all met in the law school. And so, there was a guy, a mate of ours, who was always asked to stand up and do the roll call at the end of the lecture. So he would start, you know, EAT Saki. Then you put your hand up or you say present. And they bade in present. And then they got to one man called Namon. And they said, Namon. He did not respond. So we all turned and we saw that Namon was sitting there. They said, Namon again. He did not respond. About three times. Then the director, he was also the director of a law school, was sitting on a rostrum like this. So he just raised his head and said, is that not Namon over there? And Namon said, we are tired. Are we in kindergarten? Every day we come to school, present, absent, present, absent. Today we are tired. And we were all so surprised. Because if you were going to do anything like that, not at this particular lecture, and not in a place where the man was the director of the law school and could decide your destiny. But Namon was a grown-up, mature student. He was working with FAO. He was a UN diplomat. And so he was tired of absent, present, absent. He said, why? Are we in the nursery? Are we not postgraduate students? And then my director said, Namon, do you know who you are talking to? And Namon said to him, who are you? You are tall. Who are you? And the man said, I am the director of the Ghana Law School. And Namon said, and so what? Are you God? Answer me. Are you God? All of us were shaking in our seats. We were surprised at what was going on. And the whole class was stiff. And Namon said, are you God? And the man said, Namon, you are a twerp. The lecture had ended. So the director stood up and went to his office. Need I tell you that Namon was suspended for about 4 years? When we finished, Namon was now coming back. Why? Because he didn't know who he was and who the director was. In spite of the fact that he was a diplomat, he worked with FAO, he had come to school. And this director, you had your hand in his mouth. And we were all biding our time with him. But you decided that you will face him fully. And because you didn't know who you were, you also didn't know who the director was. That's why he asked him, you are tall, who are you? But the director knew who he was. And he knew how much power he had. So he said, I'm the director of the law school. And he showed us that he was truly the director. Hallelujah. It is in the same way that many of us don't know who we are. Because we don't know who God is. When you know who God is, it will reflect on you as to who you are. Hallelujah. Vashti did not know who she was. She thought that, maybe I'm important, or maybe, you know, because I give the servants in the palace some orders and they obey, maybe the king and I are at par. You know, there's nothing different between us. Even I'm not drunk, I'm more sober. You know, and many of us also don't know God's giftings and callings in us. We are not aware of God's investment in our lives. We are not aware of the worth of our lives. And many of us allow things and people and circumstances and experiences to define who we are. That is why in the Bible, even after the woman has been healed, she's called the woman with the issue of blood. Because people use your issues to define you.
and to give you an image, and you give them permission to do so because you do not know who you are. That is why, even though blind Bartimaeus was healed, we call him blind Bartimaeus. That is why, even though the prodigal son came home, we call him the prodigal son. Because man has a way of defining you by what you go through. Sometimes by your mistakes. Sometimes by your hardships. Sometimes by the trials you've been through. And that is why when Hannah came into the temple, and she was weeping and praying, and the high priest even tried to give her an identity. Say, you are a daughter of Belial. Put your drink away. He just supposed that he knew who she was. That, first of all, you are a daughter of the devil. And secondly, the reason why you are behaving like this is because you are a drunkard. And thank God for Hannah, who did not accept it. She was very respectful about it. But she said, no, my Lord, I am not a daughter of Belial. But I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And out of the abundance of my sorrow, I have spoken. So people, even whom you respect, sometimes will redefine you wrongly. But with all due respect, you must redefine yourself the way God sees you. Hallelujah. Even after God has forgiven us, they say we are Rahab the harlot. They remember us as Rahab the harlot. But Rahab was saved. And Jesus Christ came through Rahab. But they still call us Rahab the harlot. And a harlot cannot be a harlot without a man. Amen, ladies. It takes a man for a woman to be a harlot. And when the woman was caught in adultery, it was only the woman who was brought. The man, it takes two to tango. The man was not brought. And many of us, our images are from society and what they tell us about ourselves. But we need to know who we are. When you don't know who you are, you never rise up to be all that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. When you don't know who you are, and they say, we want people who can do things in the church. Maybe you can sing. Maybe doing daughter, you can usher. No. As for me, I'm not good at anything. And many times we may not speak it, but in our hearts, we believe it. And when you believe something, it also affects the way you behave. Amen. When you are a president, you are not supposed to be driving along. Then you see some taxi driver has crossed traffic. You get down and turn the taxi over. It is not allowed. A president does not behave that way. Hallelujah. You cannot take the law into your hands in a rightful way. There is no such thing. Because if you start doing that, everybody else will start taking the law into it. That's why we have courts, we have judges, we have things like that, so that the law will be standard. So anyhow you feel, you can't forget that you are a president and decide that you will slap the taxi driver because he's misbehaving and turn his taxi over. It's not allowed. And many of us don't know who we are. Hallelujah. And many of us look at who we are from what we see. You cannot define yourself by what you see, because what you see is often a poorer image of what God has really done in your life. Many times when God called people, they didn't feel adequate. When God called Moses, he said, I'm a stammerer. I cannot speak. Besides, when I go, there's nothing so great about me. The people will not believe it. And when I go, who should I say sent me? I don't know who I will say sent me. And I think you should give me Aaron, because God, you seem not to know that I have a speech disability. All these things were true about Moses. It was true that he was a stammerer. But in the sight of God, that didn't matter. The songwriter said, he looked beyond my faults. God looks beyond your faults. He looked beyond your limitations. And many of us women, we have limitations. So, I'm a mother, so I can never rise up in ministry. I'm a wife. I can never be of any use in the hands of God. Or when I look at my past, you see, all these people are angels sitting here. When I look at my past, God cannot use me. Somebody was telling me after so many years that now she has a miracle and she's pregnant. And she was asking me, why does God take so long? I've been married for over 12 years. Why does God take so long before he will show up? And I said, well, I don't know. But I think that one day, if you stood up to preach to other people, your message about God of hopeless situations will be received better because you have walked through that place. Hallelujah. So we are not all the same. But whatever we have been through, even the broken pieces of our lives can be used to the glory of God. And so, ladies, we've got to rise up to know who we are and to know God's investment in our lives. If you had told me some years ago, I believe that God had called me to preach or to be a missionary. I didn't know whether it was to preach, whether to be in the ministry. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew that this is what I think God has called me to do. But I couldn't have guessed the many things. I couldn't have imagined even this evening. Because when you look at where you are standing, you can never see where God will take you to. So daughter, don't just look at where you are standing now and say, oh, from where I'm standing, I can see that I will continue to stand here. That is not the case. You see, Mother's Day is on Sunday, not the coming one, the next one. And I was just thinking about it. Oh, Mother's Day has come very fast. What am I going to say on Mother's Day? You know, what am I going to preach about on Mother's Day? And then as I started to reflect, I said, God, last year's Mother's Day, what happened? So last year's Mother's Day, I had a noble invitation to Malaysia to preach to them on Mother's Day. And then as I thought about it, I said, no. But as I stood in Kolegono some years ago, or even last year, did I ever know that such a thing would happen? I couldn't have guessed. I couldn't have imagined. I couldn't have said, oh, putting this two and two together, this is what I think will happen. No. But God did it anyway. Hallelujah. And then the assistant pastor of that church came to tell me, you know, when we're going home, no, Sister Adelaide, it may interest you to know that our Mother's Day service was a very unique. When they invited me for the Mother's Day, they told me that we are happy to invite you to our Mother's Day 2006, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. Just as we had Mrs. Grace Cho in 2005, we are happy to invite you for 2006. But that rather caused trepidation and shivers. This is a church that Dr. Cho ministers in. It's a church that Mrs. Cho preached the Mother's Day before. How can I have also a message? Somebody who is coming from the largest church in the world. Somebody who is the president of the university. I mean, so many accomplishments. How can I have a message if Mrs. Cho preached before? Even if it was somebody else I didn't know, I'll take it like that. But Mrs. Cho. But that is what God can do. Hallelujah. So ladies, we've got to rise up and know who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Vashti did not know who she was. And when you don't know who you are, you also don't know how to behave. Hallelujah. When you don't know who you are, you behave by heart. Anywhere you feel like manifesting, you manifest. If you are a pastor's wife or a senior pastor's wife, your husband annoys you. You come Sunday morning, your mouth is like from here to the end of the wall. You will not smile. You will not flow because you don't know who you are. So I'm just like any ordinary girl. I'm just like any ordinary female. I'm just like anybody. You are not. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And we've got to see ourselves the way that God sees us. Now the Bible says that when the king sent for Vashti, she was also entertaining certain women. As the king was ministering, she was also having her daughter's meeting.
She said, when the anointing has descended, you are ministering here, I'm also ministering here. Why are you calling me? Everybody and they are calling. Oh, you don't know that.
She was busy about her own things, not knowing that the only reason why she could also have the banquet for the women was because the king had called a banquet in the first place. Hallelujah. It takes submission to be a wife. I'm not talking about being a female. I'm not talking about being a woman. I'm talking about being a wife. And it takes submission also to be a woman of God. You have to learn to be a woman under authority. You cannot just get up and manifest. It is true that you are having a women's meeting. It is true that the anointing is great. It is true that you are in the middle of the service. But the King, the Lord, is calling you to Himself. The Lord is more important than the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. But many of us, we are so engrossed with the work of the Lord, we have forgotten the Lord of the work. Hallelujah. So we are busy. My mother used to say, hey, you've woken up in the morning, walking around. Huh? I can't see what you are achieving. Empty busy. That's what my mother used to say. So you are busy, but it is empty. In the same way, many of us are busy in the house of God, but it's empty. The Bible says that Vashti was also entertaining the women, forgetting that it was because of the king in the first place that she had also some wives to entertain. Hallelujah. She did not know who the king was. Vashti did not know who the king was. The king was a king of 127 provinces. And it took him 180 days to show all that he had. You, when you open your wardrobe, within 2 hours, you have shown us all that you have. When you open your bank account, with one casual look, we know all that you have. When you open your handbag, it's only Chapia and PK. We already know what you have. But when it takes 180 days to show what you have, then you are a special person. Hallelujah! The Bible says that his kingdom extended from India to Ethiopia. Let me ask you, how extensive is your kingdom? Your kingdom is that your small kitchen. Your kingdom is that your small bedroom. Your kingdom is that your small workplace that you have. Your kingdom is inside that small car of yours. She didn't know who the king was. And many of us, we don't know who God is. That's why when he calls you, it's like he's worrying you. Because my daughter, come. Let's spend some time in my presence. I want to show you off. I want to show your beauty. I want to use you in this way. Say, Lord, you know, I have to go to the hairdresser. I have to do my nails. Foolish things that have no use. Hallelujah. Because you don't know the king. 127 provinces. Some of you, you are district chief executive. And we can't hear the end of it. This man's kingdom is extended from India to Ethiopia. Hallelujah. And when he throws a banquet, it takes 7 days. And the Bible says that everybody had their desires. You, when you make a party, we have only one thing, fried rice and chicken. We have to eat it. There's no variety. But this king, when he threw a banquet, 7 days. And every man had according to his desire. It was according to the law that anything anybody desired, you should be given. That is the type of king we are talking about. But Vashti did not know who the king was. And many of us don't know who the King of Kings is. And we don't know who God is. And that's why we dismiss him with a casual, I'm not coming. I'm busy. Find something else to do. Find somebody else, because we don't know. And the Bible says that they serve them in vessels of gold. Some of you, every day, plastic cups. Your glasses cry, we don't see them. These ones are golden vessels. That's what they are using to serve. And the Bible says that they served princes, kings, the least, the greatest. They were all at that party and at that banquet.
Some of you, when you make banquet, you write by invitation only. Why? Because you can be overwhelmed. And you may easily not be able to cater for the people. But not with this kind of king. Everybody in the kingdom was invited. And you know, some people have very large appetites. When you invite them, it's not easy. They don't have any restraint on their appetite. And you give such people food for 7 days. It is not a simple thing. But Vashti did not know who she had. The decorations, silver, gold, mother of pearl, not pearls, mother of pearl. It's when I started going to Asia that I realized that there are pearls and there are pearls. You see, the first time I went to Malaysia, there was a lady in the church who now, she was a Fijian who has now gone back to Fiji. And when we had lunch with her, her husband was a chef, a white chef, very reputable hotel, very rich people. When we finished the lunch, she said, oh, you know, I have this very precious thing and the Lord says I should give it to you. And I just want to give it to you. Hey, can this precious thing be? This was some years ago. So then she took me to a room and then she did combination and things and opened her safe. And I was wondering, what's going to come out of this safe? When she came out, she brought a string of pearls, necklace. I said, oh, but this woman, pearls too, even there's some at Makola, why does she keep it so well? You know, what's so special about this pearl and long speech and this then? She said, oh, these are water pearls. You know, sometimes you have coral pearls. And sometimes you have water pearls. So that she mentioned about five, seven. These are water pearls. And they're so precious to me. But I just want to obey God. So the pearls, there are differences. First of all, I didn't know that. So when she gave it to me, then I took it to our hotel room. At that time, we really needed money for construction. And my husband said, so these pearls, you say water pearls, how do you know the value? I said, I don't know. Because I always see some at Makola, you can have blue, yellow, whatever. So, and then the pastor's wife told me, oh no, those are plastic, those are imitations. But in Asia, and I saw, you know, a whole jewelry shop, it's just pearls. You know, so the pastor's wife said to me, let's go and find out the value of your pearls. So we went to the jewelry shop. When they told me the value, I almost fainted. When I look at it, pearls. They don't look so great. Can it be anything so special? But they told me the price. Hey, then I won't sell my pearl now. When I went to the hotel, my husband was encouraging me. Oh, if you say it's this value, then sell it so that we buy cement. We buy this. I said, why do you have plans already for my pearls? You know? And then he would say, are you sure that this thing is what you are saying? I said, it is. We are learning more about pearls and what it means. So when he says mother of pearls, some of you think it's the Makola one and then the mother of it, but it's not. It's those pearls that you keep in a safe, that you have a combination lock for. That's what he's talking about. And all these wonderful things were used in the banquet. And all great and small came to that banquet. And the king is merry. He's happy. And he sends his eunuchs who stand in his presence to call his wife. And the Bible says that the king said that put on her head a royal golden crown and bring her. Why? To just show her beauty. Not to humiliate her. Not to disgrace her. Not to embarrass her. But to rather honor her and make me feel good that Chale, this is the beautiful one that I've married. And Vashti said, you know what? I'm busy entertaining the women. And I don't have time to come and display my beauty before a group of men. I don't have time for that. How often the king calls us into his presence. And how often we are too busy with our own stuff. How often the king calls us into his presence over that problem. But instead of going to the throne room, we go to the phone. And we talk to that friend who has nothing to offer. That is the place that we go to. How many times the king has called us so that he will renew our strength? Because as we go on, he sees that we are tired. Our strength is out.
And we say, no, Lord, I'd rather choose this carnal job. I'd rather have some sleep, Lord. I'd rather have a chat on one touch at midnight than to be with you. When the king calls to show our beauty, to show what he has invested in us, we are too busy. We are too important. We are too proud. We are too arrogant. We are too full of ourselves to come into the presence of a king. Because we don't know who the king is. We feel that, oh, God is just up there. God is just what the pastors say. God is what the gospel people sing. But we don't know how awesome he is. This is an earthly king. How much more God? But we don't know who the king is. We live with a king like Vashti. We flow with a king. But we have become so familiar that we have forgotten who God is. When we come into church, we just chew gum. We walk anyhow. We do what pleases us. The sacredness of God has left the church of God. The sanctity of God has left the church of God. There's no fear of God. And therefore, there's no fear of even God's hierarchy. I mean, you just do what you like. You are rude. You speak anyhow. You just behave anyhow in the church of God. You have no restraint because there's no fear of God. These days, there's no fear of God in the body of Christ. Everybody does as they want. And then, when you try to rebuke them, they say, oh, mercy, mercy. But the Bible says that God's mercy is to lead us to repentance, not to make us stay the same. Hallelujah! The long-suffering of God is supposed to lead us to repentance. The long-suffering of God is not to make us get worse and to make us have our own way. That is not God's way. Hallelujah. And one reason also why I say that Vashti did not know who she was. The Bible says that she was entertaining the women, verse 7, in the palace which the king had built. In the royal palace which King Ahasuerus had built. So even the very thing that she was having her meeting in, it was because the king had provided it. Your very life, your very breath, the place that God has put you, it's all just by his grace. Hallelujah. The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? Did you choose your tribe? Did you choose your looks? Did you choose your height? What do you have that you didn't receive? How come you have so easily forgotten? And you have become so arrogant. And then another reason why Vashti did not know who she was that the princess said to the king, when this thing is heard among the wives, it will not be good for us. Why? They gave many reasons. Hallelujah. They said that, let's read it. The counsel of the man who came and said, you know, Vashti says, verse 12. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, delivered by the eunuchs. Then the king became very angry and all that. And then, verse 15, according to law, what is to be done? And then, verse 16, in the presence of the king and the princess, Memucan said, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also all the princes and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. The first thing is that it wasn't just a marriage. It wasn't a private thing. That's why I say Vashti did not know who she was. She thought that, oh, it's just about my husband and I. It's just about the two of us. It's a domestic issue. But it wasn't. Hallelujah. He said, Vashti has wronged the princes and all the people in the provinces. Why? Because all these people had been invited. So her misbehavior had affected all these people. Nowadays, we behave anyhow as Christian women. The Bible says that the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands, to be discreet. Why? So that the gospel will not be blasphemed.
But many of us have given occasion for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be blasphemed because of our behavior. We profess to know him, but he's not Lord of our lives. We do as we like. And we have not only offended God, but we have offended the people in the body. We have offended people who look at us and say, I'm not going to be born again if that's how it is. I'm not going to give my life to Christ if this is what Christianity means. If Christianity means a Christian girl coming for my husband, I don't want to know about it. If this is what Christianity is all about, I don't want to know about it. We have given occasion for the Philistines to blaspheme. When Saul and Jonathan were killed, David said, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in Ashkelon. Why? Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest you give occasion to the world to rejoice. But these days, our misbehavior is causing the world to look at us, to look at the gospel, and to wonder. King Vashti has not only wronged the kings and the princes, but she has wronged all the people in the country. Hallelujah. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands by saying, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence, but she did not come. It is saying that Vashti's behavior will have a ripple effect. Hallelujah. Vashti's behavior will stop somebody from entering the kingdom of God. Vashti's behavior will cause problems in marriages. The Bible says that you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and give glory to God. But that's not what is happening. They are seeing our evil deeds and they are cursing God and blaspheming God. That is what is happening. And if you are a woman in a place of position, whether you talk or you don't talk, your conduct is a message. And your conduct affects other women, whether you like it or not. And that is why when God will judge us, it will not be only what you did, but what effect your conduct had on other people. He said, the way Queen Vashti has behaved, all the women in the province, they will become like her. Why? Because God had put her in a place of influence. God had put her in a place of honor. And if it was allowed to go unchecked, the whole kingdom will not be able to be ruled. Ladies, we have to see that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's not the big things. If you want to know where the wind is blowing, look at the trees and the leaves. Don't look at a building. Look at the little things. And it's our little things that cause problems in the body of Christ. It's our little things that cause problems in the church and divide churches. Because this one said, I didn't say, and you... Just because of everything is about you, and it's so personal, and it's so self-centered, the kingdom of God suffers. And it ought not to be so. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says the older women should teach the younger women. Because older women have an influence on the younger women. But it's not happening in the church of Christ. Because the younger women are not going to the older women. Because sometimes a woman sees more through you. So when you go and tell her something, she will rebuke you sharply. But a man may not say, oh, so you have this problem. Sorry, it will work. But an older woman will say that you are misbehaving. Just line up and change these your ways. And you don't want that. You just want a little bit of attention, a little bit of that, and a little bit of that. And you never consult an older woman. But it's a ripple effect. And whatever you do, it affects other people. And that's why God doesn't take lightly the things that we do. Hallelujah. The mistakes of Vashti. Hallelujah. And this day, the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's conduct will speak in the same... Okay, we've said that. Verse 19. If it pleases the king, let a royal edict be issued by him, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, so that it cannot be repealed. This is a constitutionally entrenched provision.
that Vashti should come no more into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than she. And when the king's edict which he shall make is heard throughout all his kingdom, great as it is, then all women will give honor to their husbands, great and small. What you thought was a private matter, what you thought was a family matter, what you thought was a personal matter, has now led to the drafting of a constitution. And it is often because we don't see deeply. We don't see far. That is why we misbehave. Amen. One thing leads to another, and another, and another. But we don't see that. And we don't see the ripple effect. And so when we see them, oh, he just annoyed me and I insulted him. He just annoyed me and I slapped him. He just said this, I didn't like, and I left the choir. He said this, I didn't like, and I didn't come to church again. But all that is leading to entrenched provisions. Somebody was telling me about a church, a big church, also in Accra. And the person said to me, that church, they don't have any lady pastors anymore. She said, oh, did they have before? Yeah, I hear that they had lady pastors before. She said, so what went wrong? Well, they had lady pastors before. But at a point, the ladies began to be very rude, to have a very bad way of behaving. And the last straw was that a lady slapped a senior pastor. So when the lady slapped a senior pastor, the bishop of the church came and said, from henceforth, no more lady pastors in the church except my wife. And it has been so up to today. Perhaps your conduct has stopped other people from coming into the call of God. They have stopped other people from coming into the ministry. They have stopped other people from having a place created for them in the ministry because of your slap of the senior pastor. Other people who didn't do that have been stopped in that church from ever becoming what God wants them to become. It now becomes a constitution. Write it as a king's edict. Write it as a constitutionally entrenched provision that cannot be altered. So that the wives, when you do that, the wives will now honor their husbands. All women will honor their husbands. The mistakes of Vashti. I don't want us to be like, you know, people who have gone to a theater or people looking at a film. Because most of the time when you are watching a film, you are not a part of it. You are outside and you are looking at somebody's life playing out. And I don't want us to look at Vashti's life in that way. But I want us to see ourselves in Vashti. Let's face it, if your husband is drunk and he's calling you to come and display your beauty, you may say, oh, don't mind him. Oh, I have better things to do. Ah, how did he know that I'm serving people? Why is he calling me at this time? Why is he? Can the Lord call you at any time? If you were Samuel that the Lord was calling and you thought it was Eli, would you have responded that at this time you are now calling a small boy who has gone to sleep small after he has served you and all that? You have come to stand behind the window. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. When I go, I say, you say it's not you. The third time you say, every day he says it's not me. Let me just sleep. And then you miss out on God's call on your life because you make light of everything. You make light of everything spiritual. You make light of everything that pertains to God. The only thing that excites you are material things. The only thing that excites you are things that have to do with yourself. But when it has to do with other people, other princes in the provinces, it just doesn't excite you. Ladies, may we be delivered from the mistakes of Vashti. May we know that God puts us in places of honor for a reason. Let me ask you, why are you in the position you are in at work? Is it so that you will pull people down? Why are you a lady pastor? Why are you the GO's wife? Why are you the head of that ministry? Why are you a shepherd? Why are you a bishop's wife? Is it so that as you sit in council, you cut people to pieces? When something comes up, your contributions lead to the bush. So, don't forgive them. As for them, that's how they are. What would Jesus say is what you should ask yourself. And why has God put you in a place of such influence? You are accountable. You haven't just been put there, but you have been put there for a purpose. And may you discover the purpose why God puts you in certain places. And may you not use it for your own selfish gains, but may God be able to use it for His glory. And may you be an example. Paul writing to Timothy said, be thou an example to believers in faith, in charity, in purity, in holiness. So they are believers, but you can be an example to believers. Hallelujah. Because not all believers are correct. And not all believers do what is right. But the Bible says, you, Timothy, be an example to believers in purity, in faith, in charity, that is in love, and in so many other things. Can you also be an example? Or you'll be a bad example like Vashti. May we be delivered from the sins of Vashti. Do you have a submissive spirit? I always tell ladies when I go for conferences that don't bother to marry if you can't submit. Because submission is an issue. That is why God put it there. That wives, not girls, not girlfriends, not beloved, but wives, submit yourselves. Not that your husband should force you to submit, but submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Just as you will submit, but most of us, we submit to our bosses. We submit to our pastors. When it comes to our husband, say, make some tea for me. Nonsense. Can you not see the kettle? But when your pastor says, can I have some tea? Oh, pastor, what flavor? Is it decaf or calf? Pastor, which one? Amen, ladies. Be submissive unto your own husbands. And the only way we can be submissive is to be submitted to God. That's why it says, as unto the Lord. Because if you look at the man, sometimes you will not feel like submitting. But if you look at God, you will feel like submitting. God is worth submitting to. God is somebody who rewards me for my submission. God is somebody who appreciates my submission. So because of God, I will submit to this man. And by the way, don't marry somebody you cannot submit to. You're wasting your time. So before you marry and you come to the altar, look at him and say, can I submit to his decisions, even the foolish ones? If you can't, change your mind, ladies. If you can't respect him and respect his opinion, change your mind. Because it is a central thing that God asks you for. May our conduct as Christian women not destroy the church of God. May our conduct as Christian women not lead into sin. The Bible says about the strange woman, many have been slain by her. Many. Many noblemen, many kings have been slain by her. Let that not be your story. May we be delivered from all the sins of Vashti. May we see ourselves as we really are. And may God give us the grace to conduct ourselves as queens in His presence. May we know the King that we serve. Unless you know Him, you cannot relate to Him in the right way. And may you not define yourself by how people define you. May you not define yourself by the experiences that you have been through. But may you define yourself by God's word for you and for what He has said about your destiny. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. This evening I did not come to impress you, but I came to give you God's word. I believe that God is calling His people to holiness and to dedication to Him. Because one woman's act could cause rebellion in women in a whole nation. And therefore one woman's disobedience can lead to many grave places. And we want to say, Lord, deliver us from the sins of Vashti. Deliver us from low self-esteem. Deliver us from not seeing ourselves the way you see us. Deliver us from defining ourselves in ways that you don't define us. And deliver us from being too busy to have fellowship with a king and to come into his presence. And Lord, may our lives not bring shame and reproach to your name, but may our lives bring you glory in the name of Jesus. All I want is more. Bodies anyhow. We don't know what our bodies are. We don't know that our bodies are the temple of the living God. That's why we do with our bodies what we like. But God is calling you to see who you are, to see what your body is, to see that it's a sacred temple where God dwells and that you cannot use it anyhow. I want us to spend a time in prayer. Let us confess our sins before God. Let us ask Him for a new heart. Let us pray that He will cleanse us and make us pure in His sight. And let's pray that we will know who the King is. And therefore we'll give Him the due respect and the due place in our lives. That Jesus will indeed be Lord of our lives is our prayer this evening. You want to say, Lord, take care of my emotions. Take care of my anger. Take care of my tongue. Take care of my feelings. Let them not get into the way. Let me not behave anyhow. But let me know who I am and whose I am so that I may flow accordingly. In Jesus' name. Please open your mouth and speak to the Lord. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for a cleansing. Ask Him to forgive you for the time when you've given the enemy occasion to blaspheme against the Lord you profess to serve. You want to ask, oh God, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and cleanse me. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word this evening. I pray, O God, that you will forgive us our sins. For many times we have lived the way we want. Many times we have done what we have felt like doing, not knowing that everything we have from you. I pray for your mercy. I pray for your forgiveness. I pray for a cleansing. I pray for holy women, holiness amongst your people, purity, O God, sanctification unto you, in the name of Jesus. Let it be so, O God, in Jesus' name. All I want is you. You are here this evening. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Maybe somebody invited you. Or you come to church, all right, but you need to make a commitment and a rededication of your life to Jesus. This evening, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you are saying, Lady Pastor, pray for me. I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I want to be sure. I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. I want to start all over again. you are here like that this evening, I want you to just lift up your hands and I'll pray for you. You are here like that this evening, you want to make a rededication, you want to get more serious with God, or you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that this evening, the Lord is passing this way, I want you to just lift up your hand and I'll pray with you wherever you are. I want the Lord to touch you. I want the Lord to begin a new thing. I also want to be sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. Pray for me, Lady Pastor. If you are here like that, I want you to lift your hands up and I want to pray with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We are in the presence of God. All I want is... We are waiting for you. You know that you are neither lukewarm. You are lukewarm. You are neither hot nor cold. And you want to mean business with God this evening. I want you to come forward. And I want you to rededicate your life. You put your hands up. I want you to take a bold step and come forward so that the Lord will reach you at the point of your need. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All I want is more of you. We are waiting for you. I want to be serious with God. I want to start all over again. We are waiting for you. Come to Jesus. Come and start all over again. Of you, there's nothing I love. Maybe more. You want to be serious with God. You want to start afresh. The Lord is reaching you to where you are. Let the hand of the Lord touch you. And come forward. Come forward and make a profession for Jesus. Oh, all I want is more of you. All I want. Eyes, lift up your hands to the Lord in total surrender, and I want you to say this prayer after me. Let it be your own prayer. Although I'm leading you, mean it from the bottom of your heart. The Lord is found of those who seek Him and seek Him with all their hearts. And I pray that this evening that will be your prayer and your attitude. I want you to say this after me with all heartfelt meaning. Dear Jesus, this evening I come to you just as I am. Forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make me your child. Father, I have wandered from your way. I've done things my own way. But this evening, I come to you again. I make a commitment to start all over with you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would take my hand and walk with me. Devil, I break every hold of the enemy over my life. I am all out for Jesus, and there's no turning back. Father, give me the strength. Give me the grace. Give me the power to overcome and to prevail in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for these that have come forward. For your word says that there's even rejoicing over one sinner that comes to you. Your word also says that if one sheep strays from your fold, you leave the 99 and you go and seek the one. I thank you for these precious ones who have come to you. I pray for a new beginning for them. Forgive them for their sins. Cleanse them by your blood. And let every calling and every purpose that you have for their lives come forth. Let not the call of God or the destiny for their lives be aborted. But let it come forth and let them stand and minister and become all that you want them to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please follow.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 263. 7676055 plus 233-26-767-6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.